But actually, whenever the devil chucked a temptation, he refused it with scripture.
Absolute
so he
righteous.
Didn't he didn't base himself on some kind of like Star Wars spiritual power. He just shot it out and it went.
Yeah.
He knew his Bible, and when it came along, he chucked out a scripture and argued.
Yes.
So just if Jesus in the desert, being fully God and fully man, uses scripture to fight the devil, then surely we as men and women, our weaponry is not some sort of spiritual protection. It's scripture. If it was good enough for Jesus to fight face to face the devil, that's got to be what we use.
Well, what does Paul say when he's talking about the Christian warfare? There's only one weapon he refers to. Everything else is armor for protection. What's the single weapon? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very clear what Louis is saying is right.
That. I mean, we read that and we know what you just said, but we know more about that than actually putting it into action.
Right.
And how many of us, you know, really learn our scripture to such an extent that we can do that?
It's about implementing a bit of structure with it all, isn't it? Because it's so easy to just sort of either do it as a last minute thing or read a bit. And sometimes you have to sit down and go, right, this is my this is how I'm going to do it from now on. This is what I'm going to have to each day do and put it. Someone actually, it was a guy, quite a new Christian actually, and he said one of the most amazing things. I remember listening to him thinking, you're 19, you haven't been a Christian that long and you've just blown my mind. He said, why is it that we make set times to eat food and we never, you know, we very rarely would be missed dinner, you know, we'd make sure no matter what, we'd move all kinds of things to make sure we eat. Yeah, you know, the Word of God is so much more important, but we never make a time for it and we never hold it of that much importance. It's something that we can flex. Like if you can make time to sit down and eat, surely because you should be able to make time to the Bible.
Eating is an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and also
we need
for some.
Yeah, you get hungry.
Yeah.
But we
should be hungry
for spiritual foods as well. And I mean, I think in the last few months as well, since we've been grappling with certain things as we've been discussing, more, I think we've all become more hungry in that way to search the scriptures, you know. We've and I think when you acknowledge that you're just not doing enough of that, I know that if there's a lack in my life, then, and I know it's a struggle as a human being, if I know there's something lacking, my first port of call, my first thing is to pray, to ask God, give me that hunger, give me that, because that is that's my first step, isn't it? My first step is say, I haven't got it, I want it, just, you know, to pray for it, to pray that God will actually give you that more and more of that hunger.
Our first step is just to eat something, isn't it?
My first step is to sit there and think about it.
Must have a bar of chocolate.
It is significant.
I think there's a struggle, though.
Yeah. Anything that's worth pursuing is a struggle. Mm. And when you think that we have an enemy who wants to keep us away from God's pleasure, there's going to be a struggle. Mm. But, you know, when Louis was talking about the temptation in the wilderness and the fact that Jesus actually used scripture, he wasn't just quoting scripture at the devil as if to give the devil a Bible study, because the devil doesn't need that. He knows the Bible perfectly well. That's why he's so terrified of it, but only when it is used as the sword of the Spirit. And what Jesus did was to use it in that way. In other words, it was in his mind, in his memory. He had memorized huge chunks of scripture because that was his life. Mm-hmm. But it was that recall as led by the Spirit that was the means of defeating the enemy. So in other words, he was confessing the word. And Paul tells us that we need to confess the word. And the Greek word confess, homologia, means to speak the same as. In other words, I speak out the same as my Father says in his word, but on the basis that I'm living in that revelation. So when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the basis of his authority in using that scripture was that he was a living, walking example of that attitude. He was doing that. And every one of those temptations is the same. He is declaring with his mouth what God has said in his word and what he himself is living in his life. Because if you use scripture against the enemy and you are not living in the reality of that scripture. It has no power whatsoever.
Isn't there a verse that says about believing it in your heart, confessing it with your mouth, and you shall be saved?
Yes.
Maybe I remember it from a song. I remember it from a song, and I know it was from a verse.
Yeah.
Interesting about
but it is that's but it is, isn't it? It's believing it, because if you can confess it, but if you don't believe it in your heart, it's just empty words, isn't it?
Thank you. The desert one. It's interesting. The other scary thing about the desert is we see the reality of what, you know, Satan couldn't hide anything from Jesus. And so the reality of what Satan's ultimate aim through all these sinful temptations revealed when Satan says, you know, all you need to do is bow down and worship me.
And that
every sin you go for is an attempt by the devil, not just to sort of give you a slightly more difficult life, but to actually to cause you to eventually bow down and worship him. That's the aim. That's what he said to Jesus. He's like, you know, you can have this if you bow down and worship me. So many times we think, oh, I'll do that. It's not that good, but I'll just do it. It's all a you know, a 10-step plan or whatever towards the eventual aim of Satan, which is to bow down and worship him.
But talking practically, though, just for people out there who say, okay, it's all very well you're saying all this stuff. If a new Christian, you know, wants to live according to these principles, what are the best verses? What is the best part of the Bible to try to memorize, or, you know, to build up their armory of verses? Is it going through Psalms and memorising Psalms?
The idea is, as you're reading, there are key verses, aren't there? For instance, this one that, you know, Collins found it in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now that, I mean, that's like a key verse. That is the type of thing that I would want to keep.
So
and
confessing truths about Jesus will be the, sort of the key.
Confessing means speak the same as.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're speaking with your mouth. In other words, this is expressing who and what I am, and it is the same as God has said in his word. Now, because
in a way, that's the same as, you know, you're giving testimony, isn't it? Really, I mean, that's the, you know, when I think that you're, you know, if you're a disciple, you're conferring what God is doing and saying, oh,
Saffron Planet, making sense of it all.
Saffron Planet.